You're listening to The Moment, an interview podcast series on life. We interview and capture conversations with creative minds, thought leaders, disruptors, and the people that are doing what they love while challenging the status quo. You can find the show notes on our website, themomenthq.com, and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. But for now, let's dive into The Moment. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Moment HQ podcast. I'm your host, Monica Cade. Today our guest is Raz Chan, an award-winning author, coach, martial arts champion, and expert on maximizing human potential. Raz is on a mission to help foster human excellence in youth around the world so that they can realize their dreams. Now, his life lessons in determination, willpower, and resilience began in 1979 at the age of 10. His father lost the family savings to bankruptcy. Now, money was scarce for many years and sacrificing a normal childhood was expected for the greater good of the family. So Raz spent the majority of his childhood working 14-hour days alongside of his father, mother and siblings to help make a living. His home life was turbulent and he was also bullied at school. So it was a pretty rough upbringing, but let's find out more from Raz. Hi Raz, how are you going?
Good, Monica. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. As I've just mentioned to our listeners, you had a pretty challenging childhood, and I'd love for you to just share a little bit more on that experience for our listeners.
Yeah. Well, when I'm a first-generation Canadian, so my parents, my mother just immigrated from Hong Kong a few months before I was born, back in 1969. And for the first couple of years, we lived with our grandmother, and it was quite a normal life. I remember the first Christmas was I was so happy. I thought that this was going to be forever. And as my parents moved into their own home, they start to argue quite a bit about money, usually till 4 a.m. in the morning. And as a little child, I used to huddle underneath my covers, just crying and hoping it would go away. And then in 1979, I knew that things were getting really, really bad. My father came home one day, and I overheard my aunt and my dad and my mom having a very tense conversation. Mm-hmm. And I was playing outside my driveway. So I walked into the house, and as I stood on the carpet at the entrance, my father walked across the living room and collapsed into a chair and started weeping like a baby. Mm. And my father does not cry. He was a martial artist himself, a very strong and proud man, never shed a tear. I didn't even see him shed a tear when his father passed away. Mm. But this time around, he was really, really crying. And my mom told me that, well, we're probably going to lose the house and just be prepared. And I didn't know what to think at the time. I didn't know what bankruptcy was. I just knew it was really bad.
Yeah.
And I never go into school not having money. A lot of times people make fun of us because we were the only Chinese family in the area. Mm-hmm. And I remember opening up the fridge a lot of times at nighttime because I was hungry and there wasn't a lot in there. And my mother would sometimes boil water on the stove because Hydro would come and shut off the water because of unpaid bills or the repossessed car in the middle of the night. So when you have to deal with this kind of stuff when you're growing up, it's quite tough to not have what the other kids have. And so my father was very resilient. He went to work at a Kentucky Fried Chicken as a delivery driver at night. And he plotted his comeback and he decided, well, I'm going to go into business again and try again. So my mother and him came home one day with a plastic jug of vinegar, and they poured the vinegar out into the sink. And I said, well, that's kind of a waste. What are you doing? And he said, well, this is going to be our new business, son. So they bought some mung beans, and they laid it into this little plastic bucket. And a few days later, we had bean sprouts growing out of it. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they did. They started a bean sprout business out of the tiny basement of our home. And my brother and I used to get up in the morning and pack the bean sprouts. And eventually that business started to grow over, it was a lot of tough work, probably about 15, 20 years before they start to see the fruit bear.
Yeah.
And now that business has turned into a multi-million dollar business out in Winnipeg, Manitoba, where my parents still run the business along with my brother.
That's amazing. It's such a beautiful story in the sense of how, you know, we have these challenging moments in our lives, and at the time it is so, so hard. And yet for your father to find that courage in himself again, to not give up and pick himself back up and keep going, it's just extraordinary.
Yeah, and what's also equally important to remember is when you're in the Chinese community, a lot of people like to talk, mm-hmm. a lot of gossip. And when you fail, a lot of people like to see you fail.
Wow.
You know, there's a saying in Chinese, I don't know if you heard it, it's called saving face.
Mm-hmm.
And when you lose face in the community, it's very, very tough. And for my father and mother to go through that was quite difficult, because they were looked upon at many functions, even amongst distant relatives, as second-class citizens. So we weren't treated very well. And of course, I wasn't treated very well at school, because I didn't have a lot of the things that other kids have. And it was really, really tough. And for many years, I blame my parents for putting us in that predicament. But looking back at it now, I really appreciate my parents, because I remember my father coming to me that first year and sometimes asking me to empty out my piggy bank so he could just take the bus to go to his job at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
And for someone like that, a proud man, to go and swallow his pride, to go work there at nighttime and then wake up the next day, 5 o'clock in the morning, to attend to the business again. And you don't even know if you're going to make it or not each day. And there was times when the business looked like it was going to fail. And, well, luckily for us, through sheer hard work and determination and with the kids helping out, we were able to turn the corner.
Mm. Do you feel that it brought your family together, like as you were working together on the business, or did you kind of not like the fact that you had to help and not really have the same kind of childhood like a lot of kids may have?
I think growing up, we all resented it, because we were there every day, every day. There was no time off. We were summer holidays. We were there 7 days a week. Any days off at school days off, we were there. And it wasn't a few hours.
Mm.
It was 14-hour days. And they were long days, and you know, and then we had to come home and study and so forth. So I guess at the time, we didn't really realize how important our role was in helping out the family. And of course, as a kid, you always want to have free time and some time off. And I guess a lot of the neighborhood parents even thought that it was unhealthy for us to be down there all the time. They said, well, at least your father or mother should give you some time off. But my parents always believed that, well, you know, you have to sacrifice for the family if you want, for the greater good.
Mm.
And now, looking back at it now, I don't think I'd be where I am today without those lessons I learned from them. Was it a little bit hard? Yes, it definitely was. Was there tension between myself and my parents? Yeah, at that age, definitely. But now, seeing them come out here 4 times a year out to Vancouver to visit and to enjoy themselves really brings a tear to my eye, because all that hard work, all the tears and all the hardship, all the fights between them, it's just very rewarding to see them finally enjoy their life.
Mm. Do you feel that your upbringing impacted your adult life?
Definitely. I think for the first, when I left home, I didn't leave on very good terms with my parents. There was a lot of bitterness between myself and them, and a lot of resentment. And I had to find within myself to forgive them and realize that maybe sometimes the things that they said, maybe some of the things that they've done, wasn't because they were mean. It was because that's the way they were brought up. They were brought up, in that type of culture where shaming was accepted as a form of toughening up the kids, let's say. And it took me some time to really realize that. And as I got older into my 30s, and I realized that I probably wouldn't be doing the things that I do now and have the courage and the stomach to go through challenging times now. And that's what they really, really prepared me for. And do I miss my childhood? Yeah, you can't get that back. But at the same time, I think they've given me other gifts that, and I've seen a lot of kids that I grew up with that had everything that didn't amount to anything when they got to my age.
today you help individuals using the principles of martial arts, like focus, discipline, awareness, humility, and honesty. Can you share how you do this?
Yes. So what I did is I took the principles from martial arts and I blended it with basically life coaching. And a lot of what happens in the martial arts when they bring a lot of kids through the program, if they have trouble with confidence or something to help them build the leadership skills, I see some people take the martial arts from a physical standpoint only. And I think when they do that, they're really missing the whole point of what martial arts is all about. It's not supposed to be the best fighter. Yes, it's self-defense is a big component of it. But I think with the mixed martial arts and a lot of those things now, I think what the kids are missing is they focus solely on the physical and the fighting part of it. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the entire martial arts training, it's also to improve your life skills outside of the martial arts. Because we all get old. We're not going to be great fighters forever. There's going to come a time when we're 70 years old. But it doesn't mean that we're no longer a black belt in martial art. Mm-hmm. And I think what a lot of people should do is take these concepts and apply them to the outside of the dojo. It's what you do outside the dojo. And my father always, to this day, credits the martial arts for giving them the mindset to overcome these challenges and become a successful business person. Now, as a martial arts instructor, he only taught certain students who he thought that were going to turn their lives around. And two of those students became multimillionaires, very successful in life. And when I teach the martial arts, it's the same thing. I want my students not to be the best competitors, not to be the best fighters, but to take those skills and to run businesses, to graduate from school and to make something of themselves. And I said to them that the black belt is secondary. But it's what you do outside. I want you to be happy. I want you to have a great family. I want you to have all these things. And that's what martial arts is to me.
It's so important, isn't it? Because we are living in such a world where, in general, we kind of classify success to be the money, the cars, the homes, and the things like that. And I guess through your training, you're really helping people come back to the present moment and be more aware in their lives. And then from that place, they can then have those things. But like you're saying with the black belt, you know, that's secondary. And so are all these things that we can have in our lives.
That's right. And what I find is sometimes a lot of people come through the gym and they might have a big ego. They don't want to lose in class. And they take every class as a mark against them. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's not. And I said, this is feedback for you. When you lose in the dojo, it's not you versus your partner. Mm-hmm. It's a feedback to you to help improve your weaknesses in your life and come from a standpoint of being humble and honorable. And I think a lot of people can't get past that till they get a little bit older and they start to understand. And I always like to go back to the movie The Karate Kid. Mm. My father doesn't like it because he thinks it's a horrible martial arts movie. And I say, well, Dad, it's not the martial arts that's a selling point. It's the spirit and the wisdom from Mr. Miyagi to his student and what they're teaching, right?
Yeah,
and the principles behind it.
And I think the more people we can share those principles with, the more that they will foster and grow in our communities as well.
Exactly.
And you also have a new book, I believe, Human Excellence Project. What inspired you to write this?
Well, the first book I wrote was a collaboration with Brian Tracy, and I really enjoyed the process so much. And I had the opportunity to go down to Los Angeles last year for the Quilly Awards for bestselling authors. And that's where I met him. I had the chance to talk to Thomas Baller, who is an author himself and produced music for Michael Jackson, Barbara Streisand, and Billy Joel. Mm-hmm. So I asked them about the process, and they told me that they encouraged me to write my own book with my thoughts and my views. So I decided to come out with this book because it's basically everything that that I've gone through as a child and what I learned from my parents that they didn't have a chance to teach me. Mm-hmm. Because in their head, they kind of knew what it took to become successful, hard work, and they kept on pounding that into my head. If you want to become successful, you have to work hard. Well, yes, Dad, Mom, I understand that. But what else did they not tell me that they didn't that they didn't know how to express? Mm-hmm. And I know that if I had these principles when I was 13 years old, I'm not complaining about my life now, but I probably would have been a lot more further ahead in my development as an 18-year-old leaving high school. And that's the power of mentorship, surrounding yourself with people who are going to get you to where you want to go. Because mm-hmm. I didn't really have a destination when I left school. My yeah. parents either gave me the option, you either become a doctor, become a lawyer, or you become an accountant, or you're a nobody.
Yeah.
So I didn't, all three of those things I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
So I chose accounting, and I was miserable for many years. It just wasn't where my heart was. It wasn't where my passion was. And I truly believe that if you're not passionate about something, you can never be the best at that field because your heart is not set on it. Basically, what I want to instill in these kids that if you have a passion, you want to become, let's say, go into real estate development, let's say, find mentors experts who are going to show you the way, how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, I have a friend of mine who's overcame a learning disability and became a multimillionaire at the age of 26. And he's retired now. He's 33 years old. And, you could follow people like that. And so that's when I teach the martial arts to some of my students, they ask me, well, where can I learn to be successful? And I said, well, why don't you talk to this person at the gym, go talk to this person, and touch base with them once a month, ask them questions. How did you get to where you are right now?
Mm-hmm.
And but I think a lot of these kids, what's happened is we go into the school system, they say, well, you take these courses, and then you go to university, and then you get a job, and that's basically the only route. It's not the only route. And I know a lot of very, very, very successful people who didn't go on to university. And now I'm not saying that university is no good. Mm-hmm. I went to university myself. But I think that if we had successful people leave a trail behind for you to follow. And I think that more kids do more reading on successful people and find successful mentors, it would really, really help them have an easier road to finding success when they become adults.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think we should encourage children to really find that thing that they're passionate about rather than just suggesting, yep, go to university and study to become a doctor or a lawyer, or, you know, really take time to find out what it is that you love. Because I went to university too, and I just kind of went because I felt like my parents wanted me to go. And I've never used that degree. I've never worked in that industry either. And sure, the experience is good, and I'm sure that I've drawn on some of the things that I learned. However, you know, I think naturally, once you find what's in your heart, you're better off going that direction.
Definitely, definitely, yes. The kids that there's a breakfast program for kids here in my community that I've been involved for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And kids here, they were going hungry in the morning, so they weren't getting good grades because they were coming from homes that were disadvantaged.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I want to come in and help the school and help out these kids. And I'm seeing such a difference in them when they're fed. And just knowing their story, because it just brings me back to where I was 30, 35 years ago when I was in the same position. And to let them know that when they see someone like myself, or I bring in a friend that's very successful, that they can do the same thing as well. And I think it's inspiring for them, because I know what's going on when I get to the school and I see the police officer sitting in the office with the parents. There's obviously some domestic dispute going on at home, and it really breaks my heart.
It's so lovely that you can go and do that for those kids as well. I'm sure that you've inspired many of them as well.
Yes, yes.
I've got a few signature questions to finish off
with. Sure.
Tell me what moves you.
What moves me? just inspiring people, just seeing their face light up when mm-hmm. when they find their passion.
Yeah.
And really, their heart is really just really set on it. And you know that's where they want to go. And teaching, not in the sense in the classroom, but just coaching people and bringing someone that comes into my studio who has faced low self-esteem their whole life, and to have them email you 5-10 years later when they haven't seen you for such a long time to tell you how much you have changed your life.
Yeah.
And I never thought that a person like myself, being where I was, a kid that was basically picked on, to be someone that's actually inspiring and to be able to just give back to people. It's amazing. It's amazing just to see them change for the better and to see them become the best version of themselves.
Got goosebumps hearing that story. It was lovely. Yeah,
it's wonderful. I can't explain the smile on my face when I see these people change so much, and it brings a tear to my eye. It brings a tear to my wife's eyes too.
Oh, bless. Yeah. There's a real power in that, in witnessing those moments of real change for people. And it's one of those moments that you can't always describe with words, but it's something that you feel and you see it in their eyes, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, because I was one of those kids that I was, like I said, I stood in the background and I want to belong, and I wasn't part of the group, and I was longing to belong to these people. And I guess when you get out of high school, you realize that I didn't really have that much to contribute in society. And then you realize that you got so much more, and high school was just really nothing, to tell you the truth. And I wanted to tell these kids that don't let high school define you, because don't let it define your life when you get out of high school. I mean, you could have the worst high school experience, but when you get out there, there's so much that everyone's got this special gift that they can share with the rest of the world. And I think it's a shame when people are forced to crawl in their shell and they don't get to express that.
Absolutely. And tell me, what are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of passing on without leaving a legacy and doing the best that I could while I'm on this earth. That is what, yes, that is probably, I asked myself a few years ago, how did I want my obituary to sound like mm-hmm. when I'm no longer on this earth? Mm-hmm. And did I do enough in my life to make a difference in other people?
As I listen, I interview so many people weekly, and when I ask them that question, there's a running theme throughout everyone that we all want to make a difference, that we all here to make a difference. And it's really nice for me to hear that from so many people and then just observe, wow, there are so many wonderful people out there who are really trying to help, progress our world forward and help others. It's really nice.
Yes, for sure, for sure. And we need more.
Absolutely, yes. And tell me, last question, what's the greatest piece of wisdom that you've been given?
Greatest piece of wisdom I've been given is by my father. He said that when you have a fear, run towards the fear. Don't back away from it, because it's feedback and it's telling you what you are missing in your life. And so he always told me to step to the challenge. Always, always, always step to the challenge. And I've taken that advice to heart. And every day, I suggest to people to just spend 30 minutes learning something brand new that you've never done before, and just try to stretch those boundaries each day. Become, to train your mind to be better. Because it's funny, because when you start to do that, you realize there's other things in life that you love to do that you never expected to.
Totally, It's amazing how sometimes, you come across something that you never would have thought you'd been interested in, and all of a sudden you find this new love for it. So
Yeah. Well, my wife was always, sometimes used to tease me about that. She'd say, well, let's go up to this. And I tell her, well, at least try it once.
Yeah.
not be so resistant to it. But I had friends be like, would you like to go to this event? No. Why? Have you been before? No. And, but I remember my mom, as a kid, I didn't like to eat this the funny kind of chicken feed and all that dim sum stuff that they used to.
Yeah.
I was a steak and potatoes kind of guy, and she used to say, well, try it. And I said, no, I don't like it. She goes, how do you know?
Yeah.
If you never tried it before. I said, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't like it. You know? But she's correct. How do you know? It's right? So at least try it once.
Yeah, exactly. Always try something once because you can't know otherwise.
That's right.
Awesome. Well, thank you for chatting with us today. I think it was a beautiful and very inspiring conversation. I'm sure our listeners will get a lot of out of it.
Well, thank you for having me, Monica.
Pleasure. Take care.
You too.